among you hasn't spent at least a little bit of time of the longevity of your life wondering who it is that you are and who it is that you are meant to be? Who am I? This question is a question that can influence many to any number of decisions. The understanding of who we are calls us to different paths, different occupations, different vocations, to marriage and to religious life. Who we are and what we are called to do is a huge reality for us, and most of us spend the majority of our lives figuring that out and working on that, praying about it, asking others, asking ourselves, who am I? In the recognition that we are a little confused as to who we are and what we're to do, we don't always understand perfectly humanity. Humanity is an enigma. This reality that we find ourselves in, this culture and society, the fact that we are called to relate with one another, is sometimes a mystery. How are we supposed to do this? The fact that we have trouble knowing who we are as human beings means that we have even more trouble understanding who Christ is. When we know that Christ is fully God and fully human, and yet we don't fully understand what a human is, and we definitely don't understand what God is, not perfectly, then we have trouble understanding who Christ is. This difficulty in understanding exactly who Christ is has presented itself in any number of challenges throughout Christianity. It is so easy to kind of fall off of one side or the other when it comes to understanding just what it means to be fully human and fully divine. Who Christ is can be a stumbling block for us in our lives of faith, because it's the answer to the question who he is that helps us to say yes to him, and then, having said yes, follow after him. We first have to know who he is. And he spends quite a bit of time as he talks to his disciples, both before his death and resurrection, and then after his death and resurrection, explaining just who he is. He appears to them, and at first they think it's a ghost. They are afraid, and he reminds them that they are called upon to put aside their fear and to have faith in him. Do not fear. It is I, your King, your Lord, your everything, right here before you. They think it's a ghost, and so he shows them his hands and his side so that they can recognize that it truly is a human being standing right there in front of them. It isn't just some kind of idea or an essence, but rather truly a human person who has died, who has suffered, who is standing right there in front of him. The fact that he walks through walls is a reminder to us that his glorified body is different from his pre-death body, his pre-resurrection body, but still he has hands and side, he has the wounds that are still there, and to make sure that it's even more evident, even though he doesn't need to eat, he asks for something to eat, just to make sure that they know for sure that he really is a human being, but that he also is God, he asks for something to eat. It's the reality that we look upon him as fully human, fully divine. As we answer that question in our lives, we recognize that he has come to us. Who he is our answer to everything. if we get that a little bit wrong, and then we begin to think of God just as some kind of idea, well, then we can begin to think something along the lines of this mess is something we escape from. Who hasn't thought somewhere along the way that this is just a prison for the soul? It just encases the soul, and one day we will be free. And once we're free of the this-ness, well, then we'll be happy. We won't have all the trouble that comes with having a body. We'll be free from that. And instead of freeing himself from his body, he comes and he remains a human being with the wounds still evident on him. There's an opportunity for a treasure hunt. Somewhere in the archdiocese, there's a stained glass window. I'm not going to tell you where, so you'll spend the rest of your lives looking for it. Some of you probably already know where it is, but there's a stained glass window of a young man in a wheelchair in heaven with angel wings. For one thing, we don't become angels when we die. That's contrary to our nature. Angels are angels, and we're humans, and angel did not become human. That's one of the ways in which this reality of fully God, fully human, can get off track a little bit. But that's an aside. He still has his wheelchair. Not that this young boy would need his wheelchair in heaven, but that the fact that he had to have a wheelchair, those wounds, whatever they may be, both psychological and real, are there. You'll be able to walk just fine. And yet, looking upon you, we'll know that you've had to live a life where that is a difficulty. It's the reality that our bodies aren't our prisons. They are meant to be fully who we are. This window shows us that in heaven we'll be able to see these lives that we have led, the difficulties we have experienced. We'll be able to recognize that in one another, that those wounds that Christ shows to his apostles are the same kinds of wounds that will help to tell our story in heaven. As we go through our lives and desire to follow Christ, we are challenged by the very essence of who God is to see this as something that doesn't keep us from God. This is something in which God helps to bring us to himself. Every sacrament includes something that is tangible, something that our bodies are meant to interact with. The water that will soon be poured over Harlow's head is a reminder of that cleansing power of grace. The oil that is used at anointing and also at ordination is physically placed on the hands. Every sacrament is a reality of this very seemingly trivial fact that when God appears to the apostles, he is fully there. He is not a ghost. And in that, we too get to receive his body in the Eucharist so that our bodies can take within us his body so that we can become more like him. In the gathering space, there is a painting of the ascension, and the angels that surround Christ ascending are looking at him in awe. What's he doing? What's going on? All of these angels are, and they're looking at one another and they're pointing like, how is this possible? The reality is that when the angels fell, those who fell away from God, they fell with the recognition that God's salvific plan for us included bringing this into heaven. And some of those angels looked upon that and said, that's disgusting. Leave that on earth where it belongs. We don't want that here. And yet some of the angels are amazed that God would go that far to lift us up. Our salvation includes fully who we are. Our body and our soul, everything about us, resurrected in Christ. Let us bring those wounds to Christ today. Let us receive with our bodies and through our bodies this Eucharist so that we too may join the resurrected Christ for an eternity in heaven. Because of our renewal of our baptismal promises, we go straight into the prayer of the faithful. And so let us stand, proclaiming our prayers to our God in heaven. With Easter hope in our hearts, let us bring our prayers and needs before the Lord as we pray, Risen Lord, hear us.
For the church, may she increase in grace and holiness during this Easter season. Let us pray to the Lord.
Risen Lord, hear us.
For government leaders around the world, may God give them the grace to work toward peace among nations. Let us pray to the Lord.
Risen Lord, hear us.
For the unborn, may their sacred lives be protected and valued. Let us pray to the Lord.
Risen Lord, hear us.
For the children baptized this weekend, their parents and godparents, and for the community that will continue to support them through their Christian life, may the Lord's abundant grace lead them through holiness of life to the joys of the heavenly kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Risen Lord, hear us.
For the parish for whom this Mass is being celebrated, and for all our family and friends who have gone before us marked with a sign of faith, may they rest in the eternal peace of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Risen Lord, hear us.
For the prayers in our book of intentions and for those with which we hold within the silence of our hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Risen Lord, hear us. Gracious Father, we place our hopes and fear, our needs and desires into your loving and wounded hands. Grant our prayers according to your holy will, for we ask this through your Son, Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall be seated for the blessing of the water. This blessing is a little bit different because of the Easter season. And shorter. So it's a good thing to be baptized in Easter. Our response three times is blessed be God. Blessed are you, God, the Almighty Father, for you have created water to cleanse and give life. Blessed be God. Blessed are you, God, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for you poured forth water with blood from your side, so that from your death and resurrection, the church might be born. Blessed be God. Blessed are you, God, the Holy Spirit, for you anointed Christ at his baptism in the waters of the Jordan, that we might all be baptized in you. Blessed be God. Draw near to us, Lord, the one Father, and sanctify this water you have created, that those baptized in it may be washed clean of sin and be born again to the life of your adopted children. Sanctify this water you have created, that those baptized through it into Christ's death and resurrection may be conformed to the image of your Son. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, you know that God graciously bestows his abundant life through the sacrament of water on those who believe. Let us then raise our minds to him and with one heart pray that he may be pleased to pour out his grace from this font upon this chosen one of his. Harlow Lee, if you would come forward with your mom, your dad, and your godparents, we'll renew our baptismal promises together. Dear parents and godparents, through the sacrament of baptism, this child you have presented is about to receive from the love of God new life by water and the Holy Spirit. For your part, you must strive to bring her up in the faith so that this divine life may be preserved from the contagion of sin and may grow in them day by day. If your faith makes you ready to accept this responsibility, then, mindful of your own baptism, renounce sin and profess faith in Christ Jesus, the faith of the church in which children are baptized. Parents, godparents, all the faithful here present, I ask you, do you renounce sin so as to live in the freedom of the children of God? I do. Do you renounce the lure of evil so that sin may have no mastery over you? I do. Do you renounce Satan, the author and prince of sin? I do. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death, and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? I do. This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we'll go back to the font. All the family is welcome to join us back there as well. Is it your will that Harlow Lee should receive baptism in the faith of the church which we have all blessed this year? Harlow, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has freed you from sin, given you new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and joined you to his people. He now anoints you with the chrism of salvation, so that you may remain members of Christ, priest, prophet, and king, unto eternal life. you have become a new creation and have clothed yourself in Christ. May you see in this white garment the sign to you of your Christian dignity with your family and friends to help you, word and example, bring it unstained into eternal life. Amen. May the Lord Jesus, who made the deaf to hear and the mute speak, grant that you may soon receive his word with your ears and profess the faith with your lips to the glory and praise of God the Father. Amen. Father. Now return to the front for the lighting of the baptismal candle. Parents and godparents, this light is entrusted to you to be kept burning brightly, so that this child enlightened by Christ may walk always as a child of the light, and persevering in the faith, may run to meet the Lord when he comes with all the saints in the heavenly court. Dear brothers and sisters, this child reborn through baptism is now called a child of God. For so indeed she is. Through confirmation she will receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and approaching the altar of the Lord she will share the table of his sacrifice, and will call upon God as Father in the midst of the church. Sisters and brothers, let us now welcome the newest member of our Christian family. sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Receive, O Lord, we pray, these offerings of your exultant church, and as you have given her cause for such great gladness, grant also that the gifts we bring may bear fruit in perpetual happiness, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. By the oblation of his body, he brought the sacrifices of old to fulfillment in a reality of the cross, and by commending himself to you for our salvation, showed himself the priest, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers, with the angelic hosts, sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more, giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of the faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and to minister to you. Humbly, we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church, spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Joseph, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also, Lord, the newly baptized, who, through baptism, have today been joined to your family, that they may follow Christ your Son with a generous heart and a willing spirit. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. 50 years ago, the two of you pledged your love to one another before an altar just like this, and the nuptial blessing was prayed over you. In remembrance of that, bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Lord God and Creator, we bless and praise your name. In the beginning, you made man and woman, so that they might enter a communion of life and love, so that you likewise blessed the union of Ed and Margaret, so that they might reflect the union of Christ with his church. Look with kindness on them today, amid the joys and struggles of their life. You have preserved the union between them, renew their marriage covenant, increase your love in them, and strengthen their bond of peace, so that, surrounded by their family, they may always rejoice in the gift of your blessing. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us show them a sign of our love and support. You may kiss your bride. Let us now offer one another some sign of peace.
You take us.
Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul will be saved.